opened the beer out.
Ah.
No, okay.
Now I know why. Shabbos is not. Shabbos is a different kind of topic than we've spoken about till now. It's the one topic where everybody thinks they know what it is. And they know about Shabbos, and they celebrated Shabbos in their lives. So, it's not so important to tell you. You will see that it will not be what you expect. Okay? That I can tell you.
How do you say that?
You can't tell yourself.
How do you say unexpected?
Unexpected. You'll keep something. Okay?
How do you say
it? Here we go. So, what I'm going to do tonight... What I'm going to do tonight is show you the explanation in the beginning, in a minute, why it's connected, why we're doing it this week, how is it connected to the parasha. But the reason, what we're going to see is, we're going to build Shabbat, if you will, in layers. Okay? I'll give it, as an introduction, I would say, all of us are familiar with Shabbat, but I would say, until I did the research many, many years ago, I never understood Shabbat. First of all, when I was growing up, my parents were very smart, and they always used to have a Shabbat party, and they would always invite the kids from all over the neighborhood to come to our house, the religious kids. We didn't have that many religious kids. And why? Because Shabbat should not be a day where you're not allowed, right? Not allowed to do this, not allowed to do that, not allowed to do this, and Shabbat becomes something that's hated and people say crazy and ridiculous until the 21st century, which we'll get to in a few minutes. Second thing is, so Shabbat for most people, especially if you don't live in Israel, and especially if you work, like most people, they work and prepare and whatever, especially during the winter time, right? Till 10 minutes before Shabbat, they're exhausted when they come home, either because you're coming from work and you jump into the shower, and you run to shul, go through the davening, and then you come home and serve a beautiful meal, but you're thinking to yourself, let me just get to my bed, right?
The women that work.
The women and the men, but let's say everybody worked hard, and everyone has to want to get to their bed, and you get to your bed, there's a joke, they make fun of, there's Balei Tshuva who sometimes come over, right, and they want to sing every segment in the book, right?
Just get to bed, these guys want to sing.
Right? And, when you get to bed, and the next day you go to shul, schmooze, right? Sleep a little bit, when then, Shabbos. Technically, you've done absolutely nothing wrong, right? But as you see, after tonight, that's not even scratching the surface of what Shabbat is supposed to be. So what we're going to do tonight is try to understand more. And at the end, if you understand more, now I understand why. That's not as exciting learning about the women don't wait to go. Shabbat, everybody goes Shabbat.
Well, there's a concert tonight, a very special concert.
But whatever it is, I'm just...
If I find somebody else to go with them,
okay. So first of all, the connection to the parsha. If you look carefully, last week, the week before, Truma, Tzaga, Kitisa, Vayakel, and Pekude, five parshiot, 90% of them are technical verses about how to build a Mishkan. Next week, we're going to see how they actually built it. This week also, counting all the vestments of the Kohen and the Kohen Gadol. Pretty boring stuff. There's a mention of Shabbos last week's parsha, but in this week's parsha, it's unique for two reasons. First of all, the very first word of the parsha is, the word kahal, kahila? Right. It comes from this word, and it means a congregation, right? There's only two places in the whole Torah that God calls the entire congregation together as a unit. This is one of them. So it says, Vayakel Moshe kol avot b'nei Yisrael. Moshe calls all the Jewish people together. And what is the most important thing that they're going to talk about? It's so important they had gathered all together, they had to make sure all the children, that's according to them, children, women, everybody was there. These are the things that God commanded us. Tell me if this seems sounds familiar. Sheshet yomim tasem alacha, uvayom ha-shvi'i alachem Shabbat kodesh. Lachem kodesh, Shabbat Shabbaton, Lashem. Kalosem alacha bo motumot. You have to, I don't want to say the word work, you have to do malacha 6 days, we'll come back to that. And the seventh day will be holy, and you shouldn't do any malacha, or you will die. Now, why is it, does it make sense? Because number one, where do we first hear about Shabbat?
Yitro.
Not correct, but close. Yitro. No cigar.
Bereshit.
Before Yitro.
Bereshit.
Bereshit, it says creation, of course, yes. Where do the Jewish people hear about Shabbat? Okay, you guys, where, I'll give you a question. You guys can go out and get some food and coffee, etc. When they wanted to go out and get food, I took out man, and it says on this day you're not going to take man. So already, even before the Torah was given, they had a concept of Shabbat.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah.
So it's something that they're used to for already a long time. And why, so why did they have to gather together and say essentially the same thing they said in the Aseret HaDibro, Ten Commandments? Correct? Okay, continue. Lo tavaru eish b'chol moshevotechem b'yom ha-Shabbat. One of the things you can't do on Shabbat is not make a fire. Why is that so important? We'll come back to it. And then it says, Moshe continues what he started last week and the week before and the week before. When Moshe goes up in Israel, he says to all the here it's called Adat in Israel, Adah. Zedavar Shetivu Hashem Limor. This is what God commanded you. Kimu Meitchem Truma, make sure you take a truma, an offering, God, a donation. Kol Ziv Leiroi, Yir Truma Hashem. And then it goes on, what we had before, mostly a repetition. Okay? Why is Shabbat so important? What is it doing here? Why is it so important to, that gather the whole people together? So we're going to see, and we saw that that was in last week's parsha, source number two. The Hashemen HaMishcha and the oil that was used by the Kohen, the Ketoret HaSamim, which we spoke about last week. Ketoret HaSamim was the incense, right? Mm-hmm. And again, last week it says in the parsha, Atata Be'er B'nei Yisrael, Preach B'nei Yisrael, Leimor, Achat Shab Sotai Tishmaru, be careful to keep the Shabbat, because it is a sign between me and the Jewish people. I make you holy by you keeping the Shabbat. Okay? So the first thing we see this week's parsha and also in last week's parsha, God is telling us something very important, which again is by implication, not so much by saying hitting us over the head. Okay? Every religion has a holiness of place. Think about it. Mm-hmm. Right? By definition, religions need a place. Whether we needed the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim before the sin of the golden calf, but even Jews need a physical place because to say God is all around is very hard for people to accept and live with. We need place. We have a lot of holy places and holy, right? But Judaism is the only religion that stressed holiness of time, right? We went back and we talked about time in Judaism, and I said we're the only ones that have minutes on our calendar, right? We are sensitive to time because of Shabbat. Where is the first place in the Torah that talks about holiness? We shouldn't not know this. You should know this. Source number three, at the very beginning of the Torah, by Vayivarech Elohim et Yom HaShvi'i, Elim et Yom HaShvi'i, God makes the second, calls the day, he blesses the seventh day, Vayikadesh Oto, and he makes the seventh day holy. Long before there was a Mishkan, there was a holiness of Shabbos. Shabbat is holy. The purpose of telling us about Shabbat here, according to the rabbis, is to teach us that as holy as the Mishkan is, make sure you don't violate the Shabbat in building the Mishkan. Because the holiness of Shabbat, the holiness of time, is higher in Judaism than the holiness of place. Which I don't think any other religion says that. What do we mean by that? So, while the temple was in use, there were certain things that you had to do in the temple on Shabbat because you had no choice. It had to be a daily offering. It had to be a daily offering. But things that did not have to go on and did not have to be Mechalel Shabbat, well, it's not called Chilul Shabbat, were not done in the temple. Anything that was not obligatory was not done in the temple. And you were not allowed, and they didn't build the Mishkan. So when he says 6 days do Malacha, here talking about 6 days you build the Mishkan, and the seventh day on Shabbat you don't build the Mishkan. That's why it's connected to the parsha. The question is why? I'll ask you first. Why do you think the holiness of time is superior or more important than the holiness of place?
Because Hashem knew we would not have the place anymore.
Okay, that's true, but we created it. It's called Mikdash Ma'at, where you're sitting right now.
Yeah.
A mini temple. You know, mini Israel? You have a mini temple. Right? You're in a holy place now. And even though it's not like in the temple, because if you were to bring in a cup of coffee to the temple, they would throw you out, probably, because there was, you didn't have to throw you out. Nobody would dare do that because they felt God's, somehow. We don't understand this feeling of what being close to God is because we never really, I don't take anybody here specifically, but that kind of closeness is very hard to imagine. But they felt it, okay? So, but Shabbat is superior. So, but if you're right, we don't have the Beit HaMikdash, and God knew that, so he had the Shabbat. Okay? Anybody else?
I think maybe time is more permanent in our lives than places. Place is more transitory as we live, and we see that Jewish communities.
I can argue and say time is the most transitory. You know, and about this, if it's finished, it's gone already, right?
Right.
It's finished already.
Time cannot be destroyed. It can't be destroyed.
But time, I'll go one step further. Time is a concept.
Yeah, you can time. Waste it.
You can waste time, but time is a concept. Time is not something that you can, is in the physical. It's not physical, correct?
Correct.
So if you're talking about something spiritual, time is much closer to something non-physical than the places, by definition. And therefore, the concept of making something already that we can't feel, touch, etc., holy is easier to understand than making, if I took this and put it in the church, right, it would serve similar purpose. So it's a place, right? And many shuls became churches, and vice versa, etc. So that's number one. Number two, I claim something else. More Jews are celebrating Shabbat at the same time than, even though they're separated by place. What do I mean? Any given, I think it's 17 hours of the day, you have Jews celebrating, the same Jews are celebrating Shabbat, right? When we have Shabbat, we know that 2 hours later, or an hour later, it comes in Europe, and 2 hours, a late hour later in England, and then to the late, America, etc., etc., and it goes to Australia, right before us, Australia, etc., etc. So, therefore, we are connected to Jews all over the world, if you think about it, by celebrating Shabbat, where we could never be connected physically. You can't never get the same Jews in the same place at the same time, right? Even Rav Nachman from Breslau. Right? 100,000. We're not talking about 5 millions of Jews are celebrating Shabbat at the very same time. So I think that is also a reason. But I have to tell you about my Shabbat in Hawaii. I know I told Stevie, right? Okay. This is very quickly because we have a lot to do. I was fortunate, very fortunate, to be able to run programs for teenagers and college students, and not so much adults, all over the world, Unleash University at the time, and not only in Canada and in North America, but also we went to Australia, I think in South Africa, and I was fortunate to go. And the person who was the head of the Jewish community in Australia, Izzy Liebler at the time, and you may have known the name, was also the head of the largest the agency that takes your reservations, the travel agency at the time, which doesn't exist anymore, travel agency in Australia, and he was good enough to do, etc. And one of the things that we worked literally 20 hours a day for 6-7 weeks. On the way back, they gave us, the big chupan, the big great thing about it, they gave us 4 free days in Hawaii. Because at that time you had to go through Hawaii. Now you have flights that go direct, right? That time you had to stop in Hawaii. So he gave us 4 days in a hotel. And I arranged, we'd go over a Shabbat, and we didn't have our own minyan, and we tried to get a minyan, and we borrowed a Sefer Torah from the conservatory. There was no shuls, there was no Chabad, there was nothing there in terms of what is even today in Hawaii. And we were able to organize a minyan. And it was very beautiful. Hawaii, I think the temperature is always between 68 and 72, like all year round. And it was very nice. I remember davening on Friday night, and we saw the moon come up. It was beautiful, beautiful. Shabbat, we got some servicemen from Pearl Harbor, came to the minyan. We had it in somebody's apartment. So come, we had midnight, a little bit to eat, and we had ma'ariv. And there was one guy who helped organize it. He was the one professional, if you will, a Jew in Hawaii. At the head of that program in 1980, he turns to me right before we say Havdalah and says, "This is the last Havdalah in the world." I said,
"Well, the first."
He said, "This is the last Havdalah in the world. We are closing Shabbat for the world. Like, you better make sure it's a good Havdalah." Right? Okay, why? If you think about it, between where Hawaii is to the international dateline, there's no Jews, nobody else keeping. And then you start with Australia and New Zealand, that's where Shabbat starts, right? All right, so maybe the first Chumrana in Australia, or New Zealand, I say it's the first davening in the world. Anyway, it was very, very surreal after I heard that to make Havdalah. But you realize that you're connected, with the whole world. Okay, fine. So holiness comes from the very beginning. Now, what's interesting is, and we're going to build, when I said thought at the beginning, I'm going to show you, we're going to build ideas on Shabbat. The bare bones, Shabbat we said so far is holy. We're going to build ideas how we are supposed to keep Shabbat, and the ideas why we're supposed to keep Shabbat. So first of all, we see something very, very interesting about Shabbat. What is Shabbat different than all other commandments? It says, first source number 4, Israel Oti Leolam. It is a symbol. Tefillin is called a symbol of leaving Egypt. This is a symbol of creation. And we're going to see it's more than a symbol of creation. Shabbat is the basis of Judaism. Why? I will give you I'm trying to get to the end, so in pieces. Rabbi Yehuda Levi said something very interesting. If you think about everything in time, we talked about time, every astronomical, or anything we measure time by, right? What do we measure time by? There's a reason for it. What's time? Give me time. How do we measure time?
Seconds, hours,
okay? Why hours? Why is it 24 hours and not 29 hours?
It's the way the moon and the
sun. No, not the moon. It's the time that the Earth rotates exactly once.
Oh, I see.
In relationship to the sun. Or in relationship to itself, but in relation to the sun, correct? Mm-hmm. And therefore, if you stay in the same place, 24 hours approximately, 24 hours later, okay? Month, the word month comes from the word moon. Because it's exactly 29 and a half days between the time it takes for the moon to go around the earth, right? And therefore, the moon, a month, is 29 and a half, 30 days, 29 days, 28 days, February, something. Okay, fine. Everybody understands that, right? Year, why do we have a year? Why not 392 days? Why 365?
Back to the same point again.
It's the time that what? Not something?
It takes
Earth to go around the sun.
The sun.
Okay? What about a week?
July.
Where does it come from?
From
July. No, we said every astronomical, every time has a something in the physical world that it relates to. Where does 7 days have to do with that?
Precious.
Right? The only explanation, somebody could say, well, we have 29 days, you've divided it to 4, 7, approximately 28, 15, you could do 6 times 5, right? So where does it come from? So Rabbi Yehuda Levi says, and the only explanation of the 7-day week is from the Torah. And, but he says, if you look around, except for a few tribes here and there, the entire world accepted 7-day week, right? So that's a proof that at one time or another, everybody accepted the idea that God created the world. Or else, why would they have a week? Where did it come from? And just because that country did it, that's not going to make me do it. If anything, it will make me do the opposite. But the fact that everybody kept a week, and everybody still keeps a week, there was an experiment. The Japanese tried to do 10 days, all kinds of stuff, and there were a few. But, so this, the idea of a week means at some point a proof of that God created the world, and you accept God. And if you don't keep Shabbat, means you're not accepting God as creator. So that's why it's O.T. Beinu Beinu Nei Yisrael.
Okay.
Now.
Excuse me.
Yes.
What's your definition of the word Bash? At the end of that source.
We will get to it.
No.
Well, what word do you see in the word Beinu Bash?
Nefesh. And
Nefesh. You will see. We will get to it. Hopefully we'll get to it. Okay. And maybe we have to move it after 8:30. So what I want to show you now in the next few sources is how Shabbat is different and more important than any other mitzvah. You know, they say, Chalaam said, more than the Jews kept Shabbat, Shabbat kept the Jews.
That's right.
Right? Now, when I was a little kid, or I was even started to be taught a teaching, when I would teach people who had no background, and we would keep a Shabbat, it would be extremely hard for these kids to keep Shabbat, because you can't do this, and what are you doing? But it's not only that. I mean, I remember in Australia we used to have, they had, it always was in July and August, and they always would have the big tennis matches, the U.S., it was U.S. Open, and the kids would want to see it on Shabbos, you know, they have to see it. It was a big thing, tennis is a bit, and, you know, I have to, we'll come back to that too, but it's very hard for people who never kept Shabbat. 21st century, it's easy. I just say, all you gotta say to people is, it's one day, 24 hours, we turn off all devices. And they say, oh, that's great. It took us 3,000 years to make Shabbat an easy concept for the world to understand. Because you said that 100 years ago, what do you mean? I can't do this, I can't do that. Now you say, you have to turn off all your devices and spend time with yourself and your family. I say, wow, what an unbelievable concept. What a new concept, right? Anyway, we'll get back to that, okay? Another example or source that will show you, okay, how important Shabbat is, source number 4. When they decided they want to destroy the Jewish people, this is talking about mostly the Greeks, right? What did they, this is before Hanukkah, according to some, what did they do to ensure that Judaism would be destroyed? 3 things, okay? Tamachad nigzera gzera Yisrael. Gemara said that in Tanis Yudchev HaMibet, they wanted to destroy Judaism from within, so they made laws not as good as the Soviets did. The Soviets said you can't do anything. They said 3 things. You can't learn Torah. Lo yamu et b'neihem, they can't do
Brit Milah,
right?
Brit Milah,
V'sheichalalu Shabbatot, and they force them to be mechalal Shabbos. Because if you can eliminate Shabbos, and you eliminate Brit Milah, and you eliminate Torah, for sure the people will never be the Jews the way we understand being Jews. Okay? Again, we don't have time to go into each one, but I think we understand. Now, it's very interesting in source number 6, and now you understand what it means. Rav Ashi Omer, Amar, Haitanahu dechamira aleha Shabbat kavod azara. The comparison is somebody who violates Shabbat is like somebody who is an idol worshiper. So 10 minutes ago you say, what's the connection? But if you don't believe in God, right? At least you believe in other something else that's great. Okay? Because if you don't believe in God because you don't keep Shabbat, so we're talking about somebody who doesn't keep Shabbat philosophically, because I don't believe in God. But on the other hand, source number 7, and this is Shulchan Aruch, Mumar la'achis afilu davar echad, o shehu mumar la'avorat chachavim, which is avodah zarah, o l'chabel Shabbat b'paresia. Okay, we'll go through all this, what this means in a second. O shehu mumar l'chabat Torah, afilu chutz mi shtayim elu dino k'avei avodah zarah. Mumar la'achis is a very important concept that you know has nothing to do with the shir, but it's important to know. And in Judaism, we don't define you by necessarily by only how you act. The motive behind it is very important. If somebody says, you know, I really, really love swimming, and I can't, I'll take swimming, and it doesn't make a difference what I take, and I have to do it every day, and I can't control myself, or, perfect example, there's something called in America now called half Shabbos. Among the teens, it means that they can't get off their social media. They keep everything in Shabbos, but social media they can't. There is a large group of people who go to yeshiva, yeah, and social media is such a grip on them, okay, that they don't keep that. Wow. That's one kind of sin. Another kind, that's a sin where I know it's wrong, but I can't help myself. Wow. The hachis means, you know what the hachis means, right? To make somebody, to do it out of spite, right? To make somebody angry would be I doing it philosophically because I want to make you upset, and I want to, and I will. I remember you don't have it today anymore. When I just came to Israel, Yael Dayan, the daughter of who was very anti-religious, yeah, would go to Dafka with a group of reporters. Would go to the beach on Yom Kippur publicly to make a statement, and that's lachis. Right? Not because she wanted to go to the beach, but she wanted to say, I don't believe in all this mumbo jumbo. Anyway, the point is, if you do the exact same thing, but you do it lahachis, it says, mumar lahachis, means like, I don't give the Torah because I want to stuff it in your face and I want to do it publicly, right? Afilu davar echad, even if it's one thing like Shabbos. O mumar lahachachamim, if somebody worships idols. O lechazal Shabbat b'farhesia, publicly do not keep public Shabbat. O shehu mumar l'chol Torah, it doesn't keep anything. What I say, mumar means here, someone who is educated, someone who knows better, someone who had no reason not to. Okay, today we don't even have that, because if somebody got turned off by a fifth grade teacher, there's a reason why the person's not keeping, even if they're from Me'ah Shabbat. Right? Or somebody is gay and they can't be in the community because they were made fun of their whole lives, or whatever. That's not a mumar, right, that we would call today. We talked about that last week, right? Avol chutz mishtayim elu, dino k'ovei chachamim. We come back to the idea of avodah zarah. Okay, we're going to get back to it, okay? We'll come back to avodah zarah. Why dafka avodah zarah? Now we're going to get into the heart of the shir, and how it should have an effect on us every Shabbos. Because when we see what holiness is on Shabbos, we should feel a little, I don't say guilty, because I don't want you to feel guilty. We should feel a desire to keep Shabbat, to give it more credit than we've got in it till now. Okay? So when we say, what's the reason we keep Shabbat? So the first reason is source number 8, right? Zachar Yom Shabbat Kacho, we have to remember Shabbat to make it holy. 6 days you shall do your melacha. How do you define the word melacha?
Work.
Okay.
Creative work.
Well, very good. We'll come back to that. Yom HaShishabal HaShem Elokecha. Shabbat is for HaShem. לא תעשה כל מלאכה, יהיו לך עבדות במלאכה, אתה וכל ביתך, וכל מלאכה ובתך, וגר לך השם בשבילך. I would say, it doesn't say, it says everybody in the family except the wife. The wife's allowed to do it. No, I'm just kidding. It doesn't say the wife because it applies to the wife. You are the you. He says the reason. Why should we keep Shabbat? As we said before, He sheshet amimasa Hashem zeshemayim yetaretz. God made the world in 6 days. The vayom hashin Shabbat reinafash. It doesn't mean, I'm sorry. God rested on the seventh day. What does God resting mean? We can't see. What did he do? He took a break. You know, he had a diet coke. What did he do? Rested.
He didn't need to rest.
Okay. Okay. Baruch Hashem, God blessed the Shabbat and made it holy. Okay. We're going to come back to holiness. We're going to talk about it next week as well, and we're going to talk about the holiness of Shabbat, which we're not going to get to this week. I don't. Maybe we'll look a little bit. Okay. Made it holy. So the first reason to keep Shabbat is God. God created the world. Okay? So when you're growing up and you have a childlike understanding of Judaism, which 99.9% of Jews who keep Judaism do, even as adults, they say, well, because God rested, we rest. Or after 6 days of working, you need a break. God needed a break. God needed a break. That's why we don't do malacha. So first of all, we have to understand what malacha is. And when we have this introduction that we had, we understand what the word malacha is. And then you'll see a little bit about this particular reason on a deeper level. Okay? Although, in the, I guess I said, in the 21st century, you don't have to explain as much how we become holy because we turn off our devices. That's all I have to say. Everybody understands what that means. Right? If it's a day with yourself and your family that you can't use any devices, you understand very well that it's a day that makes it very different than the rest of the week. But okay, we'll come back to that. The word melacha is used, I learned, if you want to look at this even deeper, Nechama Leibowitz in her book described this. She was the first one that actually said it, but people have said this. New generation. The word melacha is used in the Torah in only 3 places. Okay? We already had through all of them.
Oh.
You didn't even see tonight. Where do we see?
Gan Eden.
No, I'm talking about the sources we already learned. I don't think we had, I'm not sure what we said in all 3. Okay? Melacha by Shabbat is not permitted. Okay? Whatever it is, it's not permitted on Shabbat. Okay, where was the first place the Torah says it? And even if you don't, I'm not going to say it. We already had it, and we read through it so quickly. And I dare say most of you have heard it hundreds and hundreds of times in your life. First place in the Torah that it says, Malor Melacha.
Which is?
Where? Source number 3.
3.
Source number 3. We read it. Vayikadesh oto, God made it holy. Kivo Shabbat, mikol melachto. God stopped doing his melacha. What is there, a siren? Okay. Even if it sounds south, I'm going to continue. You can leave the room, but I'm going to continue. Anyway, it says God stopped his melacha. So what does melacha mean, therefore?
Creation,
whatever he did during those 6 days.
Created the world.
From the word melacha, we know he created the world. Correct? That's the first thing. First place to use melacha. Second place to use melacha? Anybody?
Mishkan?
What?
Mishkan, maybe?
No, we had it already. Where else did we talk about melacha? You just had it in source number 8. Okay?
In this Torah portion.
Source number 8, what does it say?
That's
you can't do melacha on Shabbat.
Yeah.
Where's the third place?
That one I don't know.
Okay. The third place is the most obvious, but only if you read the Torah this weekend. Okay? The word melacha is defined as how you build the Mishkan. I will show it to you. Source number 9 we talked about. Source number 10 we talked about. Source number 11. Boy, we have weird sounds this week. Bahalei Tavruach Elokim. I will This is talking about Bezalel. I will give Bezalel the knowledge and the, he already had the devotion, the spiritual understanding of how to build the Mishkan, the Chachmah, the Tfunah, wisdom and a deeper understanding, I'm not going to go what each one is, Uvedam and Bechal Melacham, and said by the Mishkan at least 25, 30, 40 times, what you're doing in the Mishkan is Melacha, right? In fact, we learn what is not permitted on Shabbat from those activities that were done in the Mishkan. There were 39 categories of activities that were done in the Mishkan. Those are what you're not allowed to do on Shabbat, and he goes into all the minutiae and the details of what you're not allowed to do on Shabbat. Why? So Mishkan, creating the world, and Shabbat. The only places in the Torah that says the word Melacha. Okay? There are many that say, Hirsch talks about this a lot, is that building the Mishkan is building a microcosm of the world. And just like man, God created the world with his Melacha, we created the Mishkan with our Melacha. Because we're talking about only physical, we're talking about spiritual, and just like God, the world is physical, but has elements of spirit. Okay, I'm not going to go into details, etc. What is Melacha, therefore?
Creation.
Any creative activity.
Creative.
Anything that is creative. Now, before we get into the details of the creative activity, why do you think God said, you don't do a creative activity on Shabbat?
Why? Imitation.
Creative in the physical world. Why?
Because the Tumah is to act like that.
We're in the
okay, to act creative. Like God, but God, because God didn't work, we're not going to work.
No, it's not that. I mean, it goes deeper than that.
Okay. Yeah, it does go deeper. We're going to see in a minute. Okay? It's a creative activity. Where does it say we're supposed to be doing creative activity? What? Correct. That's not only a suggestion, according to many, it's an actual commandment. On 6 days, we are supposed to be creative. What is the danger if we're very creative 6 days a week? And we create the iPhone, and we create, you know, rockets, and we create. What's the danger in the world, which is, I would say, 90% of the world probably believes this at this point. If we're creative 6 days a week, and God is creative, then
I'm above
we are like God. We are God-like.
You go like Bubba.
Just like God created, we created.
Like Bubba.
And therefore, we are the bosses of the world. We are creative. Why does God say, don't create on Shabbat? Because if we follow Shabbat, a Shabbat, and say we're not going to create in the world, it means that they were listening to somebody else, to someone else we are beholden to, correct? I always use the example, kids, I say, when you go, stay over, as a kid, I never did better, but certainly as even adults, when you go to somebody's house, relative's house, and you stay there for a few days, and even if they say, feel totally comfortable, right? There are certain things you won't do, correct?
No.
You won't raise the refrigerator at 2 in the morning, right? That you'll do in your own house. And you'll do many things in your own house that you would never do, even if they're your best friends, correct? Mm. I'll take a shower now, a little hot water, as before Shabbos, and they're gonna affect the hot water of the other person. In your own house, I'll take whatever I want, right? Correct? Hashem says, the world is not your house, it's his house. And one day a week he says, don't touch, don't do this, right? By not doing it, he's saying, we're very creative, but we are not the boss. We don't run the world. And if we didn't have Shabbat, it would be so easy to say, we run the world. Because many people believe that we do, especially Putin, right? We run the world. Nobody can tell us what to do. God. But if we know one day a week we can't do this and we can't do that, it's because we believe in a God. So that's one thing. The second thing is, okay, so therefore, okay, what are we not allowed to do? The specific thing that God did. What is the most creative act in nature? To me, this is brilliant. What?
Light.
What do you mean light? This light?
Any light.
Fire.
Said we can't create.
Fire. The reason I say fire is because of the first source. Why did God specify fire? It's the most creative action that we can do in the world. Everything else is based on fire. All electricity, all atomic bombs, all based on the concept of fire. What do I mean by that? The most creative activity. I can train an animal to do an animal does, plowing, right? I can't train an animal to understand why the animal is plowing, right? Then if you plow this way, I can put in the seeds. You know, in a row, I put in the seeds. I can train an animal, certainly a monkey, to water the seeds. I'm not sure I can train a monkey to understand that if you water the seeds, eventually you'll have food, right? I can't train a monkey to make a fire. That is only human. I mean, I don't know, but I don't think that. And so only human beings can make, of the 39 melachot, only human beings can do that.
Is that one?
Carrying is one of them. Now, what's the difference between...
Is that one of the 39?
What?
Because it's separated.
It's different because it says in the Torah and the but carrying is also. Now, every animal carries. What's the difference between carrying for an animal and carrying for us? It says it has to be creative. From the Torah, the rabbis came along and said everything's not allowed because if we allow you to create, but it has to be creative. If it's not a creative act, you're not guilty from the Torah. And I'll prove it to you. Okay? Rambam source number 12. I see we don't have time. Oh boy, we're not going to get to anything. Koha mekalkalin kuturi. Anybody who destroys something on Shabbat, just because he wants to destroy, somebody throws a glass against the wall out of anger, you have done nothing wrong. Or you destroy a house, or destroy anything, a painting. Why? It's not a creative act. The very same act, if it's for a creative purpose, becomes usur. So therefore, if you destroy a house with the intent of building on top of it, another house, you've violated the Shabbat, according to the Torah. But if you destroy a house with no reason, you've done nothing wrong. It has to be creative. The rabbis came along and said, how is somebody who's going to be watching, right? How is somebody going to be watching the guy destroying his house going to know if he's destroying it in order to build a new one, or he's destroying it because he's crazy, or whatever reason? Doesn't know. So the rabbi said, you can't destroy. That's a rabbinic thing. But if you look at the Rambam, etc., you know how to destroy, because destroying is not to be a creative purpose. If I make a hole in the ground, and I have no purpose for it, I'm just making a hole in the ground. From the Torah, I've done nothing wrong. Everybody understand? It has to be creative.
How about tikkun?
What?
To the ten mushroom.
It has to be a tikkun. Tikkun is making it creative. If I want to make it so that I can use it,
yeah. That's
creative. Yeah. Before I couldn't use it, now I can. That's creative. And get an animal to do that. And whatever it is, it won't be able to do it. Okay?
What about gathering sticks?
I'm sorry?
What about gathering sticks?
What's the purpose? If there's no purpose, nothing wrong. I mean, in other words, you can't gather sticks. It has to have a creative purpose. If you don't have a creative purpose, you've done nothing wrong with the Torah.
But Tzadkhan was killed because of that.
Well, he had to gather it for a purpose. They want to make a fire, want to... Okay? I see we're never going to get to all the sources, so I'm going to go already skip the source number. It says here 16. It's 16. And we got to the first purpose. First purpose is to understand that we are not running the world. And in the 21st century, that is a very, very deep concept that most people do not accept. Okay? So that's the first thing. But then comes along the second Ten Commandments that are given, and 90% of the Ten Commandments are the same in the first and the second. When it comes to the reason for Shabbat, it says something different. It doesn't say anything about creation. So look at source 16. It says, keep the Shabbat, you have to keep doing for 6 days, you do malacha, same thing. And instead of saying, but because God created the world, it says, source number 16, v'zocharta, you should remember, ki eved ha'ita v'eretz Mitzrayim, because you were a, oh, I know what I wanted to say before. You were a slave in Egypt,
And God took you out of Yetzirah Hashem Elokecha Misham Yerchat Kol Nivriyah Al Kain. Therefore, because God took you out of Mitzrayim, God gave you the Shabbat. Atzot of Yom HaShabbat. So people who are, just want to understand on a very simple level, oh, God took us out of Egypt, so therefore we owe it to God because he took us out of Egypt, because we're no longer slaves. Or, on Shabbat we're not slaves. Right? You may be a slave, we'll combine the two in a minute. We may be a slave to, whatever. Now, and then what I wanted to say before, this really combines the two. What does it mean to be a slave? Can you be a slave in the 21st century? The answer is yes. Can you, what do you mean? I'm not talking about in the African countries where they have slave labor, etc., etc. We can all be slaves, and we all are slaves. Okay? This is one of our, you know, Moses brought down two tablets, this is one tablet. Okay? Many people are slaves to this. You tell them, not on Shabbat, don't, the next hour, don't go near your iPhone. And it's not Shabbat. Most people can't do it. You know what that is also? That's Avodah Zarah.
What?
That's idol worship. Why? What does idol worship mean in the 21st century? Anything that you consider the most important thing in the world that's not God. Okay? That person who has to swim, that's their Avodah Zarah. This is their Avodah Zarah. Anything that you can't live without, let's put it that way. Anything you can't live without. I'm not talking about oxygen. I'm talking about that you say, I have to do it. I love basketball. I can't. The playoffs are on. I can't.
People really like that. People really like that.
Yeah. People go crazy for sports. People will spend half their salary to go to see their home team in a different country. Super Bowl? $50,000 a ticket? Some people, I mean, that's some of the. So I'm not talking only about sport. Some people in sports. For you, it's not sports. But if we look, let's talk 10 minutes, I'm sure I could find something. Not because I can find something with me very easily. The point is to resist it. Okay? I was very proud of myself this week. Okay? I was looking forward to something. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but I'm late. And I was going to eat something that was a milchik, and then afterwards I flashed, you know, And I was really getting hungry, and I look at the thing, and I take out the flashik first, and without thinking, I just wanted to taste it. It was still fresh from Shabbos. I tasted the chicken, whatever, and then I said, "Oh my God." I said, and I knew that by the next day that milk salad would be good. I said, "Oh my God, now inflation." Right? And I'm so tempted, I only had a tiny piece. Right? And I debated with myself. I said, "You know, it's not worth it in the big picture, right?" So I went outside and forgot that, whatever it was. The point is that we all have something that we say, "Oh, this is the most important thing that's not God." And that's what I mean by slavery. I used to give the example, you know, Pavlov's dogs?
Yeah.
So before there was this, 40 years ago, I would say to people, Pavlov did train dogs to respond to a bell. So I said, if you're in the shower and the only person in the house, this is the example I used to give, and the phone rings, this is when they had only landlines, right? How many people would rush out of the shower, right? Try to get to the phone, and of course, by that time they had enough, right? That's an example of Pavlov's dogs responding to a bell. We respond to a bell all the time. Oh, I got a new game, I got a new message. We're Pavlov's dogs. That's slavery. Okay? You say, don't be a slave. Don't be a slave to your environment. You're in control. You decide. Okay? That's what it means by slavery. And again, I'm doing it very quickly because of time, and this is only the, again, setting a building blocks, okay? So that's the second idea of Shabbat. Don't be a slave. And if we go to sleep right after dinner, and we'll come to the Shabbat Yenefash in a minute, okay? And obviously we're not showing that we're not slaves, and we're certainly not showing holiness. Right? We're going to talk about holiness next week. Okay? So let's go on. We talked about source 16, right? And it says in source 18, sorry. Source 19. The tablets, right? Android and Mac, right? Whatever, the Android and iPad,
okay.
Right? Are made by God. It's God's writing. It is engraved on the luchot. So on this, the Gemara says, the Avot says, atikra charut ela chaylut. What is chaylut? Chaylut is freedom. We have on Pesach. The word for engraving and the word for freedom is the same. If you keep the Torah, you will feel free. Now, that's the last thing that most people feel if they keep the Torah. And that's exactly what Shabbat is supposed to be, a day that's liberating. Not a day that is, what time is it over, right? And that's why we don't keep Shabbat properly. Even people who don't do any sins have really no idea how to maximize the Shabbat. Now, if we have more time, we'll be going into it deeper, but I will go, so I'll just show you now source number 20 that you mentioned before. Sorry, what was your first name?
Chaim.
Chaim, you mentioned before.
Yeah.
All we've talked about now, until we've had this verse before, it's a sign between me and Bnei Israel, right? The people of Israel. 6 days you shall, right? Asashem, God made the world in 6 days. We imitate God on the seventh day, Shabbat, we stop doing creative activity. There are two aspects of Shabbat. All we've talked about till now is Shabbat, what you're not allowed to do. You become more free, and you're not a slave, etc. But there's a whole second part of Shabbat, which is called Vayin Nafash. What does that mean? Making your soul over again. Making your soul over again. Recreating your soul. Vayin Nafash. And we're going to see, if I had more time, on Shabbat, you're not allowed to create in the physical world, but you should create in the spiritual world. It's very interesting. When I came to Russia, former Soviet Union, they knew two things. They didn't know anything about Judaism. But they knew a lot about mysticism, and they were very interested in sex, and they knew that on Friday night you're supposed to have, it's a mitzvah to have sex. Okay? So the question is, if you're not allowed to create in the world, how can you create children? On sex, you know, if you do right, you're going to have creating. Right? You're not allowed to create. In the spiritual world, you're allowed to create. And we believe that a human being is more spiritual than physical. And therefore, in the spiritual world, that's why it's mutar. Okay? Now, not only that. So, how do you recreate yourself on Shabbat? I'll tell you how not to recreate yourself Shabbat. Read through the Kiddush and benching. Eat what you can and go to sleep. That's not, although it's a mitzvah from the rabbis to sleep if you enjoy sleeping, and we'll see why in a minute, it is certainly not the purpose of Shabbat. To sleep, it's to recreate. You should come out of Shabbat saying, I'm a new person, or I'm a better person. How many of us do that? That's what Shabbat is about. Now, question, how do you do that? So the first way you do that, it's Psalm 21, it says, in Yeshaya, in Tashim Yishabat Raglecha, Asos Habatzecha Miyam Kachi, if you, I'm not going to read the word, okay? The Karata Shabbat on Shabbat Oneg. You have to have, Shabbat has to have Oneg. What does the word Oneg mean?
Enjoyment.
Don't go in Oneg Shabbat, that's where it comes from. What does it mean?
Joy.
Joy. Simcha. What does it mean exactly? Okay? Lekdosh Hashem Lechuvah, to make God holy. Through Oneg, we make God holy. You should not do your weekly activities, I'm translating, and you should not talk about things on Shabbat that you talk about during the week. Okay? That's the beginning of how do we make Shabbat and do we make better people. So what is the halacha? I'm not going to go through the sources. Oneg Shabbat says, and we'll see this more next week, You have to take your best clothes and wear them, not to show off in shul, but because you want to honor the Shabbat. You have to take your best food of the week and prepare it and enjoy it for the purpose of Shabbat. You're making Shabbat holy by doing physical things. I said, we'll talk more about it next week. If I drink wine on tonight and I get high, and I drink the wine to get high, I've done something that's not very Jewish. If I drink the same wine on Friday night to get high, I'm not doing something Jewish either. But if I drink the same wine and I get high, drunk, and I do it to make the Shabbat holy, you've done something very holy. If you put and consciously make the Shabbat special, put my best dishes out, put my best, in order to make the Shabbat special, holy means special, we'll see next week, right? That's Onik Shabbat. In fact, it's halacha, right? When nobody ever took showers or baths, once a year maybe, once a month, right? Jews always took baths on Friday. Oh. One of the Shvitz, why? It says in the Rambam, we're talking about 2,000, you know, years, in order to prepare for Shabbat properly. Preparing Shabbat is almost as important, right? The food has to be prepared before Shabbat. And you have to buy the food already. So preparing for Shabbat, consciously thinking about how you're going to make the Shabbat better. By the way, when does it start? Sunday. What do we say is the last thing in the davening, at least in the Ashkenazim? Hayom Yom Rishon V'Shabbat. We're already thinking about Shabbat. The whole week should be geared towards Shabbat. And if you start thinking about Shabbat, and then you consciously make yourself, make it special, in order to feel special, and because you know it's special, then you don't go to sleep right away and wait until Shabbat's sleeping. Okay? Yeah. And I'll prove it to you. And it says, look at source number 23. This is from Shulchan Aruch. Yarbeh mabasar v'yayin. This is obviously we're talking about not in the time when people were vegans. You should have as much basar as possible, as much yayin as possible. Remember, people only had basar once a week. They couldn't afford it. As much as possible. Rabbi Wein said in his father's shtetl, they would have Wednesday night, he would sit with the rabbi would sit with the shochet, and they had one cow for the whole town. And they had to figure out a way to make it kosher. In other words, the guy had shechted it already, and there were problems because they couldn't afford more than once a week meat. Okay? And the halacha is, if you don't want meat because you're a vegan, don't eat, you're not allowed to eat meat. Okay? But it says the same thing about source 24, the last line. Okay? V'yalbishas mo v'bigdei Shabbat. Wear the best clothes on Shabbat, not to jump into bed in pajamas. V'yad acharesha rachasas mo. After you've made your body clean. V'zeu kavod haShabbat. You talk about oneg? This is kavod. Kavod means everything you do before Shabbat to prepare. Make sure you do it, you know, right before Shabbat. By the way, one of the great ways to prepare for Shabbat, whenever Shabbat is, and I'm guilty that I'm not doing enough, make sure you finish everything 20 minutes before. And the last 20 minutes before you light candles, you just sit down and you prepare. You sit down and you're calm, not running around. Because that's what Shabbat is. Shabbat is not supposed to be a day where you're like this, okay? Or sleeping in shul because you're so tired, etc. Now, I want to go on, I'm going on for another 3-4 minutes because I want you to understand, okay? 23, just here it is 25. Yilbas begadav hana'im, you will wear the best clothes you have. Remember, those days, they didn't have many clothes. And the halacha is, in Shabbat, and I'll tell you, it's like, how do you become a better person? Okay? What do you think about most? So I always ask people, what do they think about most on Yom Kippur? What's the answer? Correct. You said, what is that?
Food.
Correct. Why? Because you think about what you can do, what you are not doing now, but you want to do in the future. Right? So therefore, a lot of the halachot about what you're not allowed to do or what you should do is to prepare you for the future, right? Think about how you're different. So therefore, on Shabbat, you have to make the Shabbat different than the rest of the week. So it says, I'll throw in these sources in a minute, it says, for example, if you only have one shirt, what do? Can you imagine that's how they lived? One shirt. So they have to take the shirt off and put it on again to make it different. Or if you learn Torah every single day, every minute, your 3 minutes, learn less Torah on Shabbat in order to make it different. Could you believe that? Shabbat has to be different, because only when you're experiencing something different will you think about the thing that you're missing. Okay? Now take a look at I'm running here. The Yismach Leviyat Shabbat, first line of 25. And you have to have simcha when Shabbat comes in. How many of us have simcha when Shabbat? And really, I've seen people cry when Shabbat leaves. If we cry when Shabbat leaves, then the source that says, 137, Shabbat is 160th of the Olam Haba, we understand it better. Not, if we really think and we're sad to see Shabbat go, then we've experienced Shabbat a little bit like Olam Haba. That's what Shabbat should be. Okay, go back to 25. As if we were going out to meet the king. Imagine the most important person, whoever it is in your world, right? I would say to certain people, what's her name? The kind, you know, what do you call it? The Iris concert.
Your what?
Huh?
What's her name?
The Eurovision
thing? Iris concert. You don't know what the Iris concert are?
English waiver.
Who's the most famous person in the world today?
Trump?
No. More than Trump.
Is that woman who's dating the football?
The woman you met, yeah, a woman,
oh,
yeah.
Taylor Swift. What's
Taylor name? Swift.
Huh?
Imagine, not you, but imagine, for those people, they're going out to meet Taylor Swift. They're having a private audience with Taylor Swift. That's what Shabbat is. Whoever that person is to you, a chatan going to meet his kala. Shabbat kala? That's how we have to look at Shabbat. It's so special, right? The chatan going to the kala. Ma'atei v'koi, I just said, I could go on and on with the sources. The Ma'alei Shabbat, it says how important Shabbat is, etc. And it says in 26, Yarbeb peirotim v'gadim, you should have many fruits, and then Haggad says, v'imragel v'shinat tzarayim, aliyavat lena, if you are used to sleeping in the afternoon, it's okay to sleep on Shabbat. Okay? That's onen v'nat chadot. There's another thing on Shabbat that we have to do, which we all know as well, and I'm going to find the source, and I'm skipping a lot this time. Okay, source number 30, I'll just throw that in. Amarachanina, Tarechiti, you, lo shnei atifin. You must have two pairs of clothing, right? Echad lechol, echad leShabbat. One for during the week, one for Shabbat. We only have one, what are we supposed to do? You have to change Shabbat. Take it off, rinse it off, wait, and then put it back on. I wanted to show you, this is very important, I don't know why it doesn't, maybe I dismissed it. The idea of we say in Mincha is, and we say every tefillah, V'yanuchu bo Yisrael mekadshei shemecha. Shabbos menucha, right? So what do people think? Shabbos menucha means?
Resting.
Nothing to do with sleep. How do I know? It's, what did I just say? V'yanuchu bo Yisrael, and through menucha, right, we will get an honor and make the Shabbat holy. V'yanuchu bo Yisrael mekadshei shemecha, making God's name holy. I have never seen anybody make God's name holy if they're sleeping. So menucha doesn't, that's another layer. What is menucha?
Rest.
It doesn't mean rest. It means a cessation from the week in order to examine ourselves, making ourselves into better people, a new person. And that's what menucha is. A stoppage, right? Noach, manach, in order to prepare ourselves, not physically, but psychologically, spiritually, for the coming week and be better people. And again, I could go on and on and on, right? But the whole idea of Shabbat, we say it every Shabbat. Source 39, then I'll end with one very interesting point. 39, what do we say? Harachaman, Uyatchileinu, Yom Shakulo Shabbat. May God give us a day that's totally Shabbat. What is a day that's totally Shabbat? That's Olam Haba. Right? Uminucha lechaye olamin. And rest, but it doesn't mean we're going to sleep in the next world. Minucha is a certain, should I say, peace within yourself. That's what I would define. And we say it in the Mincha, right? It says, Yom Minucha Kedusha. It talks about the Minucha this way, Minucha that way. And you go through, it means a certain self. I'm at peace with myself. How many people can say that? I will end with one thing that Rabbi Lam, Allah Shalom, said. He was a brilliant American who understood languages and a brilliant man in terms of a wordsmith. Okay? He's the first person that ever said this, so obviously it's a wordsmith. Right? And nobody ever thought of it this way. When you tell a non-Jew you have a day off, right? They look at that day as a day of recreation. Right? Based on what we just said, Rabbi Lam said, when the Jew has a day off and understands what Shabbat is, it's a day of recreation. Same word. Recreation. We're supposed to recreate ourselves. If we go into Shabbat saying we're going to recreate ourselves, then we behave in a way that's very different than the way most of us keep Shabbat now. Now, it's not easy to do it in one step, etc., etc. But you understand that that's the purpose and that's the goal. I thank you. Shabbat Shalom. Actually, according to the halakha, it's already Shabbat. You're allowed to wish somebody Shabbat Shalom.